The reading today is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, and that's on page 1041. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell on the hands of the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Let's just pray, shall we? Yeah, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story of the Good Samaritan. Father, we thank you for the way that you explained that through this parable. Lord, a lesson about who is our neighbour. Who is our neighbour that the lawyer asked to you. And Lord, that you just unpacked it through this beautiful piece of scripture. And we just pray that, Lord, you would teach us this evening what you want to teach us through your spirit. And that we will learn something about loving our neighbour and being your salt and light in this world and throughout this week as we go about our daily business. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to kick off this evening, I just wanted to show a few pictures to you of some people. And what I want you to do is just look at in your inside how you feel when you see these pictures of people that I put up on the screen. And I'm concentrating on the lady on the right, not the lady on the left. When we see the Queen, how do we feel when we see a picture of the Queen? Do some people just want to shout out some feelings, some emotions of when you see the Queen? How do you feel?
Proud.
Anyone else?
Lucky.
Okay, lucky. Any kind of emotions?
Thankful.
Okay, great. What about when you see this guy? Okay, this guy has hopeful. Okay, hopeful. So I have to put this on the screen because I'm a Spurs fan, so I had to put him up there. But this is Harry Kane, for those that don't know, the England striker, Spurs striker. Now, some people might feel very happy when they see Harry Kane, think, oh, what a player, he's the England striker. But if you're an Arsenal fan, and you might have very different feelings about Harry Kane. What do you feel? Okay, I've got the same reaction this morning when I gave this message. The oohs and the ahs. So, Mr. Trump, there's some people in the south of America that absolutely love this guy. You know, saying he's turning the country around, he's bringing in Christian principles. But there's those that absolutely despise him. And when they see him, this anger boils up inside and they can't bear the sight of him. And lastly, Mr. Farage. So yes, again, somebody that has the mixed emotions. When I see him, if I'm honest, I have a bit of when I see Nigel Farage, but he's relevant, isn't he, at the moment with the new party and speaking into this whole thing of Brexit. You know, he disappeared for a little bit of time, but he's back with a bang, and he's here. So, yes, so I just wanted to show those pictures just to really, for us to start checking our hearts of how we feel when we saw these people. And I just want to also begin by just asking some questions to you this evening. The first question I want to ask you is, who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? Do you have an enemy as you sit here this evening? Who are you struggling to love? Who are you struggling to love? Who are you struggling to forgive? And as I ask these questions, I'm sure some people came to mind. Now, it could be somebody in your family, could be someone at work, could be someone in your community. This is an issue that is relevant to all of us. Relationships are not easy. And in this life, and ultimately Jesus' parable here, gives us an example of how we are to treat our neighbour and those around us. So let's start looking at this passage and diving into the scriptures. Right at the beginning, we see in verse 25, we see that that we are introduced to a lawyer. And this lawyer, it says, wants to put Jesus to the test. The lawyer was an expert of the law, and his motive here, we can see, is to trap Jesus and expose him as a phony. And he does this through asking Jesus a question. He starts off with a question. He says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" However, Jesus, being God, knew the motive of the lawyer and responded to his question with a counter question. He said, "What is written in the law, and how do you read it?" And the lawyer responded and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So here the lawyer is summing up the whole law, the great command. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and Leviticus 19 verse 18. He knew his stuff. He knew the law. He had the head knowledge. And Jesus responded to him and said, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you shall live. You've spoken truth. Go and do it." But the lawyer responded again. Instead of just leaving it there, he responded and he said, "And who is my neighbor?" You see, this initial exchange reveals the state of this lawyer's heart. A motive which was revealed that he didn't consider the law to be applicable to those who were different from him. This man only wanted to love those neighbours that were in the same cultural group as him. Maybe his close family, his friends, those that he knew and loved. He wanted it easy. That's why he's asking this question. But surely Jesus didn't mean everyone. So instead of the lawyer asking, "How can I be a neighbour?" That is what he should have asked. He's saying, "Who is my neighbour?" Which leads us into this parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus shares a story, as often as he did throughout the Gospels. We see he uses parables, he uses stories to explain things of the kingdom. And in this story, the lead character, the hero of the story, was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan was considered an enemy to the Jews. He was using the very thing that the Jews despised. There was massive dislike between the Jews and the Samaritans in those days. Samaritans were considered a half-breed. They were despised by the Jews because they believed in certain elements of the Jewish faith and they had bred with other religions and people groups in the past. The Samaritans claimed to be children of God, although they continued a blended religion filled with pagan and occult beliefs. And the Jews considered them some kind of cult. The Jews despised them so much that they wouldn't even speak to them. And they didn't even want to travel through their land. They were considered the lowest of the low. And Jews were not to engage with them in any shape or form. You see, straight away, Jesus is redefining the meaning of this law and what it meant to be your neighbor, to love your neighbor. The lawyer, as I've said just now, meant to the lawyer, the law meant loving his own, loving his fellow Jews, loving his community. But to a Samaritan, to love a Samaritan was a radical love that he knew nothing about. Loving your neighbour according to Jesus and according to the Gospel of Luke meant loving even your greatest enemy, the one you despised. In short, your neighbour is anyone. No one is exempt. No one. This is countercultural. It's not something the world promotes, is it? The world promotes that if you get hurt, you hurt back. You don't care for those that hurt you. You cut them off. You punish. You become bitter. You fight and you protect yourself at all costs. We see that in part of this parable where the Levite and the priest, they just pass by. They don't want to engage the Jewish man that is lying in the road. They ignore their neighbour, they pass by. And we also see that in the world today, don't we? We don't really hear Good Samaritan stories. We normally hear stories like what we've heard recently in Sri Lanka, the terrible deaths that happened there, the shootings in New Zealand. So many people hating their neighbour, so many people killing their neighbour. And Jesus goes deeper. It's not that kind of extreme hate and destructive behaviour. It's how we think and it's how we act. See, this Jewish man thought he was righteous. He had the head knowledge. He knew the law. But he didn't know how to practically express it. It's a challenge for us. We can know scripture. We can know the Bible. We can know the law. But if we don't express it through our faith in practically, it is meaningless. See, the priest and the Levite, they didn't kill or hurt this man. They just ignored the issue. They just walked by. It's a heart thing that Jesus is speaking about through this parable. It's a challenge of how we think and how we perceive others and how we choose to react. The priest and the Levite were more focused on their own lives, what they had planned. They were busy. They had a schedule. They had things to do. How desperately our world needs God's people to show mercy like the Good Samaritan. How desperately do we need to see the gospel light shining into a world of darkness and pain and hate? And this is what Jesus is illustrating through this parable. His people, his followers, love God firstly, but they also love people. Not any people, all people. So I'd like to touch on just three things that we can learn from this parable. Firstly, the first thing is that to love your neighbour requires showing compassion. In verse 33, it said that the Samaritan had compassion. You can read it there. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and where he saw him, he had compassion. In the NIV version, it says pity. He had pity on him. And I just loved this as I was reading the scriptures. I just loved this because this was the difference between the Good Samaritan and the priest and the Levite. They just passed by, but Jesus mentions here that the Samaritan had compassion. And that is a sure sign of a believer, to have compassion. To have compassion for the broken, the poor, the helpless, the lost, and even for your enemy. I remember the days when I used to go into prison in Polesmore back in those times, and I used to walk into the cells, and in those days there would be about 50 inmates in the cell, and I'd walk into there. And you've got murderers and you've got rapists. And these kids, it was kids in those days, have done horrific things. And I used to walk in there and some days I'd think, oh, Lord, why have you called me to minister to these guys? Like, these guys are despised by the world. They're despised by their own families. Their families don't even want to come and visit them. But God started to really just break my heart for these young men and give me this compassion for them. And as I started to go in, I just saw lost boys. Just lost boys, brokenness, hurting young boys that were looking for love, that were looking for truth, that were looking for a saviour. I also realised when I walked into these cells that it was only by God's grace that I wasn't sitting there with them. Because it was by God's grace that I came from a Christian family. I was raised by a mum and dad that loved me. I had an education. I had resources. I didn't have to be growing up in poverty, but quite easily, I could have been born in Cape Town. I could have had a mother and father who rejected me. I could have been born into a very poverty-stricken background. See, it's this God-given compassion that led the Samaritan to go to the man and begin to help him. And this compassion, it comes from God. It's something that comes from God. It's something that God puts inside us. Because also, as Christians, we realize that we were lost, we were broken, that we had spiritual bankruptcy. And Jesus modeled this for us himself. He had compassion in his ministry. And we read in Matthew, we just read this beautiful piece of scripture in Matthew. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Now the word compassion here in the original Greek means he felt it in his gut, in his inner being. It's a compassion that God had for those who are lost to suffer. He suffered with them. He felt the pain of others. And this is the compassion the Good Samaritan had. He felt the other man's pain. It was what drew him to go and help the Jewish man that was lying on the road. We see it through the Gospels as Jesus goes through the Gospels, as he reaches out, as he ministers. He heals the lame. He heals the blind. The demonized come to him, frothing at the mouth. He sets them free. But also we see the compassion that led him to a cross for us. We are called to be a people of compassion. God's people are a compassionate people. We are a people that feel it in our inner being, the hurt and the pain of our neighbors, the lost, the downtrodden, the poor, those that don't know Christ's love. We're not a people that should pass by. We're people. God's people are people that engage. We cross the street and we engage. It's a compassion that sets us apart from the world. It's a compassion that set the Good Samaritan apart. So firstly, compassion. Secondly, sacrifice. Loving your neighbor requires sacrifice. And the Good Samaritan sacrificed a lot to take care of this man. Mercy, the gift of mercy, is sacrificial. The Samaritan risks his life. See, the Jericho Road, back in those days, was a very, very dangerous road. It was very isolated. And as travellers used to pass down this road, robbers and other people would attack them and sometimes even kill them. So to actually stop on this road and go and help somebody, you were putting your life at risk. And that's what the Samaritan did. He sacrificed his own life to help this man on the road. And when I get a situation of a guy coming out of prison, often the guys would come and say, "Oh, this Buyo's just been released from prison," or "Clint's just come out of prison." Often their situations are very problematic and chaotic. And when they bring this situation to my desk and I look at it, I say, "Okay, Buyo's coming out, his family's dysfunctional, he doesn't have a job. All of these things are going on. Okay, he's new in the faith. How are we going to help him? We need to find him a home." And sometimes I think, when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, right, who can I delegate this to? Who can I delegate Vuyo to on the prison team? Who can look after him? Who can help him with all of these things? And I'm embarrassed to admit that, because it takes so much time and energy to actually help some of these guys that come out of prison. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take resources to help them. See, showing compassion to your neighbor is personal. It's something we do, not for ourselves, but for God, and then for the person we minister to. The Samaritan could have quite easily had another scenario, thought of another scenario. As he saw this man, he thought, okay, if I stop, I might actually get killed. If I stop, this is going to cost me a lot of time, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. There's nobody around. I could just leave him. Nobody would even know. I could just carry on with my way and get on with things. I'm busy. I don't need this in my life. Somebody else can help him. Why should I help him? Does that sound familiar? I've had those thoughts before when I've faced a similar kind of situation. Do I have the time for this? Do I have the resources for this? Can I sacrifice things to help this person? You see, the lawyer didn't want to get his hands dirty. He just wanted to love those that were easy to love, those in his culture, those that were around him. But Jesus calls us to this radical love, which differentiates us as Jesus followers. So how do we respond? Well, it's practically loving those who don't love us. We are to reach out and show God's love to our enemies. We are to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And there's this scripture in Romans which says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You see, the Jewish man lying in the street was that Good Samaritan's enemy. But he practically fed him and loved him. Martin Luther King Jr. says this, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. There are no set people group for us to love. We are to love everyone. And here the Good Samaritan practically cares for his enemy. Jesus illustrates here, you need to get practical. You need to get your hands dirty. It takes sacrifice. Loving others means giving of your time, giving of your resources, and giving of yourself. And Jesus again sets this example for us, doesn't he, in the scriptures. He was practical. And in the story we see here with the Samaritan that he became practical. He bound up this man's wounds. He poured oil and wine on his head. He took care of him. He used his own resources. He took his donkey and put him on it. He paid for the accommodation. And he then even went above and beyond and said, if you need more, I will pay more. And this was 2 days' wages back in those days. It wasn't a small amount. It was 2 days' wages that he was willing to give. See, faith is practical. Faith isn't about knowledge as the lawyer thought it was. Faith is about knowing the scriptures and knowing it, but also practically living it out. Religious leaders love to recite the law. We read that in the Gospels, preach. But often this would not flow into their actions. It was just religious activity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is word and deed. It's about proclamation and action. A good friend of mine in South Africa, his name's Bruce, he works, does sports ministry out in South Africa. He often says this. He says, people need to see a sermon before they hear one. Let me just repeat it. People need to see a sermon before they hear one. Now, he's not saying that proclamation and preaching the word is not important. He's saying that sometimes people need to see the Christian faith in action. So there's some truth in what he has to say. The Good Samaritan acts practically, but ultimately this is what Jesus has done for him. You see, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's actually given a story about himself. We are the desperate Jew that is lying in the road. Jesus didn't pass us by as we lay dead in our sin. And he sacrificed himself. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He came down from heaven to earth. He was led to the cross. He sacrificed his own human pain to die for us. He healed us of our sins. He paid our debt. And he showed us the way. Again, Jesus sets us that example. So firstly, compassion. Loving your neighbour requires compassion. Secondly, it requires sacrifice. Thirdly, it requires forgiveness. It says here, which of these three do you think provide to be a neighbour to the man who fell among the robbers? He said. The one who showed him mercy, he replied. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. It's just beautiful how Jesus tells that story and then just wraps it up so simply. Go and do likewise. And at the end of this parable, Jesus is ultimately telling the lawyer that this love even includes your worst enemy, the Samaritans. The lawyer, can you see how the lawyer responds? He can't even bring himself to say it was the Good Samaritan. He just says, the one who showed him mercy. So go, you know, forgive those who hurt you. You see, the Samaritan had to forgive how the Jews felt towards his own people group. There was forgiveness there. Your neighbour's not bound to your own culture or community. It's everyone. And forgiveness is such a difficult thing. I've had to work this through in my own life of late. Bitterness and anger can take root in our hearts and bring so much pain and heartache. See, the Samaritan showed forgiveness. He showed a love that was unwarranted. If it had been the other way round, if it was the Good Samaritan lying on the road and the Jewish man passing by, what do you think would have happened? Probability is the Jewish man would have gone, poof, it's a Samaritan, can't even touch him, don't want to go near him, can't engage, he would have passed by. But there's a reason why Jesus told the story this way round. So can I be as bold to say this evening that some people don't deserve our forgiveness and compassion? Can I also say that it's impossible in our own strength and ability to forgive those who have hurt us so, so deeply? Some people don't deserve our forgiveness in the world's eyes through the things that they've done to us, but neither did we deserve forgiveness. God came and saved us when we were still sinners because of sin, we were enemies of God. But Christ came to set us free, and his grace was poured out on a cross where we should have hung. Forgiveness is God's goodness, and it's ultimately for our own benefit. When we forgive, we are set free. If that Samaritan man had just passed by, he would have continued with his hate and his anger towards the Jewish people. He would have not only hurt himself, but he wouldn't have helped that man that was lying desperate in the road. See, God's way is always best. Not our way, God's way. And recently I was battling with this area. I was playing the lawyer in this story. I was trying to reason with God completely, every reason why I didn't have to forgive a certain person. I started to reason with God about this person. I said, Lord, they're unrepentant. They're totally unrepentant. Lord, they're continuing to do the very things that have hurt me. They don't care about you, Lord. They only care about themselves. They don't deserve forgiveness because they've not been sorry. And I was one day in the gym, and I was wrestling in the spirit with this issue, and I was arguing with God, but not at peace with it. I was wrestling with the weights, and then I was wrestling with God in my prayers. And as I was doing it, I was just feeling that I wasn't winning in life, and I wasn't winning in work, and I wasn't winning in my relationships with certain people. And I just felt God quietly say to me in his spirit, he said, Mark, if you don't forgive this person and let it go, it will destroy your life, it will destroy your children's lives, and it will destroy your ministry. You have to let it go. And what I realized that time in the gym is I just felt God's peace actually just flow through my body. That I was to love my neighbor, which was that person. That I had to love my enemy and to forgive them. Not for their sake necessarily, but for my sake. To love your neighbor doesn't only mean practically helping them. It means spiritually helping ourselves as well. See, working with prisoners is not easy. It's not easy. It's a very take mentality in South Africa because of apartheid and everything that happened. And the guys love to take, and they come out of prison and they take, and then they go off and you think, you ungrateful. You know, I won't repeat what. So ungrateful. You're so ungrateful. You know, we've done all of these things. We've walked such a long road for you in prison, and we've poured our lives into you. We have our success stories as well, but I'm talking about those heart-aching things when guys move off. But Jesus calls me to forgive and to love them and to continue to treat them as my neighbor. And as I said, Jesus sets this example. Jesus is our Good Samaritan. He forgave us when we didn't deserve it. He bound up our wounds, didn't he? He took our pain on the cross. He anointed us, as the Good Samaritan anointed oil and wine on this man's head. Jesus anointed us with his oil. He paid the price with his blood. And he gave us shelter through having a relationship with the Father through what he'd done on the cross. Jesus loved his enemies. I think the greatest example in the scriptures is when he's hanging on the cross and people are spitting and mocking him. And just abusing him and saying, come down from the cross. If you call yourself the Son of God, you can save yourself. And they were despising him. And Jesus' response was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a powerful example that is for us. God's forgiven us, and so we should forgive others. And there's a scripture as well in Luke where Jesus actually speaks about this prior to giving this parable. a little bit earlier in the Gospels when he was speaking. He says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those that love you, what benefit is that to you?" That's exactly what the lawyer was wanting to do, love those that love him. "For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to sinners to get back the same amount, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And God is speaking about, Jesus is speaking about everyone there. He's not putting people, you can only love this certain group of people. He's speaking about everyone. So as I look to close now, I just want to read a story which illustrates the power of forgiveness. And you might know this lady here, Corrie ten Boom. You might have heard of her. It's just a really beautiful story that I thought would just be a great illustration of this whole issue of forgiveness. It says here, let me just read it to you. Corrie herself was put to the test in 1947 while speaking in a Munich church. At the close of the service, a balding man in a grey overcoat stepped forward to greet her. Corrie froze. She knew this man well. He'd been one of the most vicious guards at Ravensbrück, one who had mocked the women prisoners as they showered. "It came back with a rush," she wrote. "The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. And now he was pushing his hand out to shake hers and saying, 'A fine message. How good it is to know, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea.' And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well." Again the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy, my sister, had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? The soldier stood there expectantly, waiting for Corrie to shake his hand. I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who injured us. And standing there before the former SS man, Corrie remembered that forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. "Jesus, help me," I prayed. "I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And Corrie thrust out her hand. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands and the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even so, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And to love our neighbor requires that power, the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I look to end, I want to ask you that same question the lawyer asked Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And as I've been sharing with you this evening, I'm sure God has placed some people into your minds, into your hearts. Could be some people that you know, that you have not got on well, that have hurt you in the past, that you hate deep down. Jesus says to us through this parable, love them, forgive them, show compassion. Maybe there is somebody who's your enemy, somebody who's causing you much pain and heartache. Jesus says, love them. So your neighbour is more than your family, your friends and your church. It's the Muslim neighbour that might live in your road. It's the guy who's released from prison that is back now in your community. It's your boss at work that treats you like rubbish. It's the person who's stolen money from you in the past. It's the partner who has betrayed you. Jesus says love and forgiveness is for all. So as we go out this week, let's do as Jesus did. Let's do as the Good Samaritan did. Let's have compassion, firstly. Let's have compassion. Let's cross the road and engage those who are hurting. For Jesus was compassionate to us. Let's get practical. Let's not be like the lawyer. Let's get our hands dirty like the Good Samaritan and show God's love because Jesus did that for us. And then let's forgive and let go because Jesus forgave us and calls us to forgive others. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you for this beautiful story of the Good Samaritan. We thank you for the illustration it brings of how he showed compassion to that man lying desperate in the road. And Lord, how you call us also to have that same compassion for our neighbour, for those that we come in contact with day in, day out. Not just those that we love, but Lord, those that we find it hard to love, that we will be a compassionate people. Lord, help us to sacrifice and to give of ourselves for the gospel, to give ourselves for others that are hurting and need your love and your goodness. And Father, help us to forgive as you've forgiven us. Help us to let things go. Help us to find freedom in that as you so wonderfully forgave us on the cross. So Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do this. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need you to fill us and to equip us as we go into this world and as we look to be a neighbour to those that we work with, those in our families, and those that we come in contact with this week. So go before us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.